Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. It is Monday, January 16th. It is 6 minutes after 10 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So security experts are sounding off about President Biden's handling of classified materials, even suggesting that the documents could have been more susceptible to leaks than those found in Donald Trump's estate. Biden's handling of the documents, well, they could have resulted in greater leakage. And we're just finding out that no visitor logs were kept at his Wilmington property. So we'll never know who was coming and going while those documents were next to the Corvette.
Isn't that pretty wild and wacky that the president of the United States, you have no idea who's coming and going from his personal residence?
Yeah. Anybody.
Let me say that again. The president of the United States, who can't so much as sneeze with seven people around him to offer a handkerchief. The president of the United States, there is no record of who has come and gone from his personal residence.
Well, you know what? They could always just ask Hunter and see what his drug-addled memory comes up with, because he was living there part of the time.
Well, and again, they made this bed, or Biden made this bed, and I am more convinced than ever that, and he totally deserves it because he's horrific and awful, but that these things may not have even actually been there, like that they have been, air quote, discovered, because Biden is too old and feeble-minded to either know they weren't there or put any sort of coherent pushback up, because again, why now? Mm-hmm. The dude has not been vice president in 6.5 years. What were they looking for? Who was looking? And why now? And there is no answer to that. So until you get a clear-cut answer on that, I'm becoming more and more convinced that they weren't even actually ever there, and they were just magically found because they want to get rid of him.
Do you think it's because they're that afraid of Ron DeSantis, the Democrat Party?
I don't think they ever liked Biden. I don't think Biden was certainly their choice. I think the left hates Biden. I think they look at him and they've always known what a joke and a loser he is. And they used him to get what they wanted. And I think you, when you couple that with the fact that, yes, clearly if the Republicans can get out of their own way and nominate anyone not named Trump, which looks more and more likely to happen by the day, It is going to be a very, very, very hard sell for the Democrats to hold on to the White House with Biden as the nominee.
Because it goes back to what we talked about previously. Can you imagine a contest between Ron DeSantis?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
And Joe Biden, what that would look like.
Oh, I can't imagine. As people will see here on the YouTube chat, I am rocking my Ron DeSantis sweatshirt today. Mm-hmm. I can totally imagine it, and it would be wonderful and amazing. For people say, well, that's such a conspiracy theory. Okay, again, let's repeat what we know. Mm-hmm. What we know is what we don't know, which we don't know who has access to the president's personal residence. That's really strange and weird. We don't know who found these documents. We don't know what they were looking for.
We were told that they were moving out of the Biden Penn Library.
Okay.
Think tank. Why are they moving?
Well, yeah, but even if they were moving, like people are just rifling through all these boxes again. Mm-hmm. Who? Who were these people? It is way more ridiculous to not think it's conspiratorial at this point than that it is conspiratorial, because the government, and I had this conversation, a long conversation with somebody on a local government issue, which we will probably begin talking a lot more about later this week. Government goes out of its way to be shifty and be shady and hide and deflect from people. Government is almost always the bad guy in the equation, not the citizen, because government deliberately not only does not provide you the information, government goes out of its way to ensure they don't answer your questions about it and that you'll never get it. If they'd come out and said, Fred Jones, who is Biden's 37-year attorney, was searching for information related to X, Y, and Z, and it was in a box marked A, B, and C, and that is when he came across these documents, and then boom. Okay, now we know. Fred Jones was the person who discovered it. Fred Jones was looking for. We can now, as a society, say, does that seem like a plausible thing? Okay, another thing to add into the equation. Why are we just finding out about it now? Mm-hmm. If it wasn't about getting him out yet protecting the party for the midterms, then why, if the documents were discovered on November 2nd and then multiple times after that, have we just been made aware of it conveniently after hi, good night, everybody, and Raphael Warnock in his runoff were reelected to the U.S. Senate? Boy, you have one thing, it's a coincidence, when you have coincidence after coincidence after coincidence after coincidence, or in this case, unanswered question after unanswered question after unanswered question after unanswered question. It is not conspiratorial for you to go, wow, something is really wrong here.
So this would explain why Biden has repeatedly said that he was surprised.
He probably is. He probably has no idea either way that those documents were there. One, because I'm sure, do you honestly think Joe Biden ever read anything when he was vice president?
I hope so.
That wasn't a menu or whatever sizable bank deposit Hunter Biden was making somewhere. Do you think Biden ever read anything when he was vice president? It's okay, Casey. You can say whatever you think.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he read some
what?
Stuff.
What?
He had to have.
Why? You think Joe Biden has, like, intellectual curiosity?
Do you think somebody else was reading everything for
yes!
him? And giving him the bullet points?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think Joe Biden could string three sentences together. And I'm not saying now when he's clearly lost his marbles. I'm saying at Joe Biden's best day, he was a moron.
Well, we know he was a liar, at least.
Of course.
Yeah.
Joe Biden is a complete and utter scumbag. And I'm not saying that because I disagree with his political beliefs. He is a person, is a shifty, self-absorbed, self-promoting, narcissistic scumbag. That family is full of those people.
I'm glad you went there.
The brother is that way.
I almost started feeling empathy towards the guy when you said that he was used.
Well, he was used. But that's
awful.
Casey, that's always what happens in the movie, right?
When scary.
You think the movie's over and then you realize that the main villain was not even the main villain and someone was in control of the main villain.
Right, it's somebody behind the curtain.
Now, James Comer, who is the guy who's in charge of investigating at least a lot of this Biden corruption in the U.S. House. He's a representative from Kentucky, was on one of the weekend talk shows, and he was blasting how Trump has been treated versus Biden.
At the end of the day, my biggest concern isn't the classified documents, to be honest with you. My concern is how there's such a discrepancy in how former President Trump was treated by raiding Mar-a-Lago, by getting the security cameras, by taking pictures of documents on the floor, by going through Melania's closet versus Joe Biden. They're like, okay, you're personal lawyers who don't have security clearance. You know, they can go through. They can just keep looking and keep looking and you know, determine whatever's there. That's not equal treatment, and we're very concerned, and there's a lack of trust here at the Department of Justice by House Republicans. That's the outrage.
So former presidents also continue to receive Secret Service protection and have security technologies that former vice presidents don't. But a lot of people are making a big deal about the scale. Trump had hundreds of documents. Biden had 10. So does scale matter? I think from a public relations standpoint, it does. But what really matters, what are the documents?
Well, but how do we know he only had this many? They keep telling us they're done, and then they keep finding stuff. We don't know. There's no idea. And again, Trump walked out of there with those documents and said they're mine. And the government or the archives said, no, they're ours. It wasn't like he was hiding them. It wasn't like they were in multiple places. Here's the documents. Mm-hmm. We have a dispute. I say they're mine. You say they're yours. We'll let someone else sort that out. In the meantime, they're going to be super secure right here. Should anybody need... Clearly, the FBI found them as soon as they went in there. They weren't... One wasn't in a garage. One wasn't in a library. One wasn't in his home.
Scattered around.
It is absolutely not the same. One other piece of audio I wanted to get through here this segment. Adam Schiff. Mm-hmm. We all remember Adam Schiff. Representative from California. Super liberal. Said that he is withholding judgment on Biden doing this when he certainly did not withhold his judgment on Trump because, well, this was clearly an inadvertent mistake.
The White House knew about this on November 2nd. So that was almost a full week before the midterm elections. We didn't learn about it. The public wasn't informed until this week. And it was only after the story was out there. Reporters were asking questions. Should they have been more forthcoming? Should this information have been revealed earlier?
I think the administration will need to answer that question. I'm going to reserve judgment until they do. But I think it's important to point out that the Biden approach was very different in the sense that it looks, as far as we can tell, that it was inadvertent that these documents were in these locations.
It was an accident.
In all three locations. Mm-hmm. They were accidentally there.
It was inadvertent.
Sure.
You know who it reminds me of when they say that? George Costanza.
Uh-huh.
From Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
Yes.
Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? I tell you, I gotta plead ignorance on this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me at all when I first started here, that sort of thing was frowned upon. You know, because I've worked in a lot of offices, and I tell you, people do that all the time.
All right, Casey, we got a bevy of voicemails over the weekend.
Great.
And so normally we only do one voicemail segment.
We're going to do it twice.
Is that all right with you?
Perfect.
All right, perfect.
All right, your voicemails coming up from 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hey, fam. I'm asking for your support. Help us raise money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food, so they can focus on helping their child live. By pledging just $19 a month, you're helping St. Jude give every child with cancer a chance. Help St. Jude save lives. Call 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 and become a partner in Hope today.
So sorry, you have just reached my answering machine.
317-684-8444. That's our phone number. We love when you contribute with your questions, comments, or smart remarks. We got a lot of voicemails you said over the weekend, huh?
A lot. And so I decided, since there were enough good phone calls, I wanted to get to as many of them as possible. Casey agreed because she's a very kind person. And so we'll just kind of roll in order as they came in, a hodgepodge of all the great topics we got to late last week. I guess there was a winner with the lottery. Is that right? Somebody,
yes.
Somebody did win the big
Powerball?
The whole dealio.
The big one?
I don't know. Somebody won something.
Well, I know somebody won the Indiana one.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what it was. Anyway, this guy called about the lottery, and I thought it would be a good, with a question about the lottery, and I thought it would be a good chance to explain your options if indeed you win the lottery. Go ahead.
The lottery. Could you help me out here? I believe it just had a winner of $700 million for the cash option on a $1.2 billion winning. I understand that there may be several $1 million winners. So let's just say it's 710. Now, that's before taxes. Could you tell me where the other $500 million goes to equal out to the $1.2 billion? Because if the lottery system is making $500 million every time they raise $1.2 billion, I'm definitely in the wrong business. Please help me out. I'm finding it hard to understand that racket. Thank you.
Okay, so this is very interesting because that's the... Duh, they're making money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying duh to this guy because I appreciate his phone calls and his listening.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it exists,
yeah,
is to make money. They're not interested in you actually getting the money. They don't actually care that you've won. They are...
In fact, they probably prefer you didn't.
It's like in Vegas. The reason they want even money if you bet on sports is because most odds are minus 110. And what that means is the house is taking 10%. That's why they keep changing the odds to try to get even money, because that's how the house... always ensures they win. The lottery is taking a cut of it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, but when they give you a prize number, that is with you taking it over whatever it is, 30 years or an extended period of time. If you choose, they want you to choose to take the money early because it is ultimately a far smaller obligation for them. They're saying, look, if you win this, it's over 30 years or whatever it is, and here's your payout, and it's $1.2 billion. However, if you'd like...
Cash lump.
And the great thing is you get to make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to me, that's nothing nefarious whatsoever. You have the choice, you have the option, as long as the lottery pays out over time, which I've never heard anybody saying that they haven't over the years. Now, it is the government. It is a huge risk because it is the government. But you have the option, and you know if I take the lump sum, it's going to be less. I don't have any problem with that. I don't know. Do you?
No.
Okay, great. All right, glad we settled that up. So Kevin is not here today. Parker is filling in for Kevin. But Kevin did a really wonderful job last week, especially putting together our song on property taxes, which we may bust that out later in the show again today because people really loved it. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow so Kevin can enjoy it with us. But Kevin does a very nice job every single day, even though he's not here to hear this. Somebody called and wanted to say some nice things about Kevin.
Hey, guys. First off, kudos to Kevin, who may just be the best producer this time slot has ever had. Probably even better than that other guy that used to produce for those two blonde chicks that used to be on the show.
What's his name?
Yeah. But anyways, not only has the bumper music been improved, but his input throughout the show is entertaining and valuable. But for those of us who can't listen to the live show and have to listen to the replay on iHeart, one of the things Kevin did is he put the 3 one-hour segments together so you can listen to the show. And on Friday, he stepped his game up even further. He uploaded the show in reverse. So for once, in the first time in history, you could listen to the show from start to finish instead of finish to start. So Kevin, keep up the good work and appreciate everything you do.
That was nice. Kevin does do a good job for us.
Well, real quick, I want to clarify a couple of things. He's talking about me. I was the former producer. And I've said this many times. I didn't care at all. I put in basically zero effort when I was the producer because I was here to be the fill-in on-air guy, and they just had to find a job for me. So they said, here, produce this show. So, yes, that show probably suffered dramatically due to my limited effort that I put into producing the show.
So we didn't know each other when you were producing the show for the Chicks on the Right. How frustrating was it for you to sit behind the board? And did you talk a lot? Did you contribute?
Oh, yeah. I was the best part of the show.
Of course.
I'm sorry.
I'm like wondering if you had a chance to espouse your opinions.
Oh, yeah. We had the speed round we used to do. Mm-hmm. I had all sorts of little phrases and things I'd pop in on. They were a blast to work with.
Okay, so they didn't shut you down. You were allowed your time.
No, they were very good coworkers. I loved working with them. I'm just telling you, in terms of my actual production, I had zero interest in that. And and management, I think, knew that, which is why they took full advantage of my willingness to do everything on air. Because there were days where I would fill in for Tony. I would produce the show, or at least I would sit in that seat while the show was going on. Mm-hmm. And then they would have me do Hammer and Nigel. I would do a 12-hour day. And they were willing to overlook my terrible production because I was so valuable as the fill-in guy.
Right, because you showed up, your hourly rate just kept going down, down, down. Well, I know that you have given Kevin a lot of guidance.
Yeah, oh yeah, I've mentored Kevin. That's mm-hmm. the mentoring session.
Yeah.
Parker, you hang around here, I'll mentor you as well, if you're lucky. Kevin did a phenomenal job. He is 100 times the producer I could have ever dreamed of being. And you know who is 100 times the newsman that I could ever dream of being?
Kurt Darling.
It's Kurt Darling, yes, and the news
is coming
up next.
All right, it's 93 WIBC.
I'm so sorry, you have just reached my answering machine.
10:33 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Before we get to your voicemails, let's wish a happy 88th birthday to four-time Indy 500 winner A.J. Foyt.
So A.J. Foyt, I'm not a racing expert by any stretch of the imagination, which is why I think I'm somewhat qualified to make this statement. Because when you think about like the greatest in whatever, mm-hmm. it's what would the average person
yep.
say? Like what instantly comes to top of mind? So baseball, Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Basketball, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Hockey, Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Golf, there's a little bit. Some people would say Tiger. Some might say Jack Nicklaus. It's not quite as clear. But racing,
mm-hmm.
A.J. Foyt is that yep. guy for that sport, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
For yeah. especially IndyCar.
Yeah, because I'm like you. I'm a bystander.
Right.
Mildly interested. I mean, I like going to the race. Had a really good time this year. But I don't know all the intricacies.
Right.
And all the...
So A.J. Foyt is
A.J.
that
Foyt?
Is that guy.
Yeah, he's
okay.
that guy.
All right, good. We agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. We've got more voicemails.
Yes. We had so many. We did two segments today. We still won't get to all of them. You guys do an awesome job. 317-684-8444. Somebody called and, you know, people say you guys are too negative on this show. They don't say that about you. They say that about me. Rob, you're too negative. so I wanted to lead with a little positivity.
Okay.
Fan of the show.
Hey, guys. Just want to say I love this show. I've been listening for quite a long time. I'm a truck driver. My name is Greg. I'm out on the road now, and I listen to you guys through my app on my phone and or through your app on my phone, and it just makes me feel like I'm at home. So every morning I try to get you guys on there and listen to what you have to say about our state, local, and federal politicians. So I really enjoy that. I get a lot of good advice, and I pass along to my wife. So anyway, I just want to thank you again for what you guys do, and I'm going to keep listening, and I will spread the word for other people to listen to you guys too. So take care. God bless you guys. Talk to you later.
Wow. That was really nice of Greg. That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, that was so nice. That's why I led the segment with it.
When he said he's a truck driver yes. and listening makes him feel like he's at home.
And this is so
wow, good. That's a huge compliment.
Well, and I had recently this conversation with my wife. I said, "Do you know how lucky you are to get to live with me?" Because do you know how many people would love to live with me?
Oh, boy.
And then here is this guy saying, you make me feel like home.
Yeah.
And it just reinforced what I already knew. So that was perfect timing from Greg.
Living with you and listening to you, I'm sure, are two different experiences.
Oh, no. It's way easier to live with me than to listen to me.
Listen to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Possibly.
So we got a phone call. Remember last week I subjected myself to going to the Brownsburg Town Council. Council meeting
mm-hmm.
in which the council had just given themselves
a raise,
massive raises, yeah. yes, 40% raise. And one of the guys who was intricate, Lion Ben Lacey, in giving himself that $5,000 raise.
He was MIA.
Yeah, didn't show up to the first regular yeah. meeting after giving himself a massive raise. And then it turned out he was somewhere coaching a basketball game. It wasn't like he was in the hospital mm-hmm. or, you know, children had some, you know, thing that had to be attended to that was so important. He was coaching a basketball game. I did some math, Casey, and mm-hmm. I can't remember if I did this last week. Our town council in Brownsburg, and when we talk about specific places, we do it because there's a good chance this crap is happening where you live too. These people just have the misfortune of me living in the same town they
right.
do.
We're and, just aware of it.
And I told these people though, Casey, you remember when they took the raise, I said, you don't want me being involved in this town again. I've not mm-hmm. been involved in this town in 7 years.
Right.
And you may want that money, but that $5,000 raise is not worth me being involved in your people's lives again.
Right.
And they didn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, I am but, if anything, a man of my word.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did the math. And it turns out those clowns in Brownsburg, get this, they make $818 roughly a meeting. The regular meetings, the ones they're supposed to be attending, voting on the town business.
That's a nice hourly rate because I'm sure those meetings aren't more than 2 to 3 hours.
Well, then you wish. I did the math. That meeting the other night that old Lion Lacey didn't show up to.
Yeah.
He was, that meeting lasted 20 minutes.
Oh.
So at $818 a meeting, and the meeting lasted 20 minutes, they made $2,400 an hour.
Wow. 20 minutes. Was it because he wasn't there? It would have gone longer had you had a chance to make your comments?
Oh, no. I said all the things to the empty chair that I needed to say. So, and speaking of Lion Lacey, and some people in Brownsburg now know this, we're going to be talking about Ben Lacey quite a bit more, maybe even as soon as tomorrow on this program.
Because
I found out some really interesting things, and I've got some other people I need to call today to talk to about those things who are way more important than me. But we'll be talking about that a little bit more in the future. I warned him!
And what is going on in Brownsburg?
Yeah, no, there's some really big stuff going on potentially in Brownsburg, and I warned them. I was very clear.
Yeah,
and they wanted that money, and if you want to be a little piggy, then I'm gonna treat you like a little piggy, and I hope they're happy. Okay, let's move on here. We got Mitch Daniels.
Yes.
Mitch Daniels is pondering a run potentially for U.S. Senate. The Club for Growth ran a very mean ad against Mitch Daniels.
Yes, they did. And we talked about it last week. The Club for Growth attack ad against Mitch Daniels has done the opposite effect of what it was intended to do.
Yes.
And apparently that ad has made him more likely to run than less likely to run. They're saying now it's personal and it's a gross distortion.
And I love this.
And it insults Indiana. And
yes!
Many governors years have modeled their service after Mitch Daniels. So now Mitch Daniels apparently wanting to stand up, set the record straight, and did not like the attack ad against him. So there's some fight in Mitch Daniels after all.
I love this so much. And we talked about this last week because Mitch Daniels is like Paul Bunyan. The majority of the legacy of his is complete bullcrap. He was a tax raiser. He was a tax shifter. He grew government. He made a massive socialized medicine program. If he runs again, then that'll get out into the open. Yeah. So we won't have to live with this fallacy bullcrap about Mitch Daniels. Check that box. I love that. Box two, Jim Banks, that turncoat backstabber who voted for Kevin McCarthy 15 times. If Daniels doesn't get in, Victoria Smart has as much chance of beating him as I do, and he'll just coast right into the U.S. Senate. I need both of these guys in to settle both of the grudges that I'm holding, so I'm cheering for both of them to get in, and then take the gloves off, and let's go. Some lady doesn't like Mitch Daniels. Play the phone call.
Hearing about Mitch Daniels running. Interesting. I just think the old man needs to retire. Please quit sucking off the taxpayers of your state, and then I think that he needs to just bow out. Was doing a great job there for a while at Purdue, but then he became woke and did some stupid stuff. I think he needs to retire. His age is 75, you said? Well, you know what, Mitch? I hope you're listening. Please, just go enjoy life and retire and quit trying to be the old political hack that has to stay in and drain the system and retire now. We are just so ready for these names to go. And
he's 73, by the way.
He would be 75, believe, by the time he would take office, which would make him a spring chicken in the U.S. Senate.
Comparatively. Now, if he does decide to run, Club for Growth Action said they will spend whatever it takes to ensure voters know his real record. Oh, we got a fight a brewing.
And here's the deal. I am offering this to both sides because I dislike both of you people, Banks and Daniels, equally now. I will appear in attack ads on both of you people. Whatever you need. You want to come on this radio show to attack the other guy? No, I'm not going to say anything good about you, but you want to come on and sling some mud at the other guy? We are are here. I love this. And Casey,
yeah.
And I know this may make me a spiteful, mean-spirited person, but I didn't start this battle. Uh-huh. I didn't take anyone else's money. I didn't back Kevin McCarthy 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
If you call and you want to say something negative about Banks or Daniels, we're going to do our best every single day to make sure that voicemail gets played on this radio station.
We'll even edit that. Okay, so a political operative in Indiana says that they think Mitch is more likely to run than not to.
Yes!
And it's not necessarily a political decision, but it comes down to whether he thinks he can make a difference.
I wholeheartedly support Mitch Daniels running. I wholeheartedly support Jim Banks running. You people could give us show content for the next year and a half.
And that's what we want more than anything,
I can just take it off.
Right?
One final phone call about how much all the politicians suck. Let's go.
You know, I'm tired of hearing all these politicians, federal and state, just like Eric the imbecile in his State of the State address, keep talking about their views, what they stand for, and what they want. You know, that's irrelevant. That's not what they're there for. They're there to stand up and fight for the people they represent and their views and what they stand for and what they want. And everybody, I think, has forgotten that. I know almost all the politicians have forgotten that. And I think a bunch of the American people have forgotten that. Anyway, have a good weekend. Love the show. Keep up the good work.
Mm-hmm. Private citizens, elected officials, they are there to represent our wants and needs, not theirs.
But we allow them not to do that, which is why I am so enthusiastic about Jim Banks and Mitch Daniels running against each other, mm-hmm. because those two and the people who represent them are train killer sharks, and we will get it all out in the open. Mm-hmm. And my goal, and this is my goal when I decide I'm going to go after whatever you want to call it, a certain politician, my goal is not that they're not going to be elected. Now, that would be great, but let's face it, one of these two guys is going to have to win that thing. But then, if it is out in the public, when we talk about people or give information out about these people or talk about them, is that when you see them, that's the first thing you think of.
Mm-hmm.
I want, by the time we're done with the U.S. Senate primary, the first thing you'll think of with Mitch Daniels is all the taxes he raised or all the taxes he shifted or all the government he grew. I want you, when you see Jim Banks, the first thing you think of is that Kevin McCarthy's face is transplanted over his. So maybe when you see him out at a Wendy's or a Walmart or wherever, you won't go up and act like you're meeting the King of England because you get to shake their hand or get a photo op with them. You'll give them peacefully and politely and legally a piece of your mind for all the crap they've pulled.
They can't be rock stars if you don't make them that
way.
There
you go. Hammer's next.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Good morning. It is 10:50 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Hammer joins us in the studio. So you had an exciting Friday night, huh?
So it was a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Right. It was a fun and interesting weekend in Beech Grove, Indiana. So there was a little good news. There was a little bad news, right? So the good news, the Beech Grove bowling team won the sectional championship.
Yeah. Nice.
I told you that as your kid prepared to bowl his first, what do they call that? Is it a round? Is it a, what do they call it in bowling? Is it a
frame?
A frame. Yeah, frame. There you go. That he should have walked up to that kid he was playing against and he should have said, the first thing I'm going to do is take your pride, and then the next thing I'm going to do is take your girl. Did he do that? Is that why they did so well?
I believe that was part of the strategy. Yes, yes. And knowing Chris Hammer, official intern of the Hammer and Nigel show, who may very well one day be a politician, he looked at him, I'm going to raise the taxes on your dad. So yes, good for the Beech Grove bowling team. They beat New Pal, which was great, because that for Beech Grove was the equivalent of the Colts beating the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl.
New Pal's a arch rival, huh?
Oh, they're real mouthy. Just a real mouthy, loud group. Mm-hmm. The kids are actually pretty nice, but it's the people that run it. Just super mouthy.
And do they serve, because they serve alcohol at bowling alleys, do they serve alcohol during the events?
I mean, they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
But Hammer's drunk dad is totally out of control.
And by the way, they had a like a essay scholarship contest for the kids that were bowling. Now, if you know anything about high school sports, usually when you have these types of deals, it goes to like a senior that's getting ready to go out to college.
Yeah.
So the person that won said essay scholarship was the son of the person running said SA scholarship.
Oh, no.
And he's a junior.
So that was the good part of Beech Grove.
Yes.
However,
congratulations.
The bad part, I'm going to use two words and I'll let you take it from here. Gun baby.
Gun baby happened on Patrol Live this past weekend. Now, for those who don't know, On Patrol Live, it's basically the show Live PD.
Yeah.
Live PD had some sort of issues and they had to stop the show. And the people in charge of it said, all right, we're going to bring it back. We're just going to rebrand it and put it on a different station. So now it's called On Patrol Live. Mm-hmm. And they are embedded with a number of police departments around the country, including Beech Grove Police.
Yes.
And we've had some of the officers on with us multiple times. It's awesome. It's fun to watch. They were called to a situation where a toddler, probably 2-3 years old, was just kind of playing outside the apartment complex, you know, in the hallway,
yes,
with a gun, with a bullet in it, and just pulling the trigger multiple times.
Gun baby was like in what appeared to be diapers of some sort, no shirt on it appeared, just clicking the trigger on a loaded weapon. There was no bullet in the chamber, thankfully.
Right, it wasn't cocked.
Yeah, but had there not been, that baby would have been live firing on television.
Yeah.
Right. And there's video of it. I mean, you can find it. And this was trending all over the country, Gun Baby, Beech Grove. Mm. So a couple different media outlets have picked it up now, and it's not the finest look. Now, if you think about some of the things that happened over the weekend on that show.
Yeah.
Now, for the most part, it's been a pretty chill time with Beech Grove and On Patrol Live. Like, it's not the debauchery that I would normally see on a night. For some reason, I guess the freaks know the cameras are out, so they stay home.
So they behave.
But there was a guy that was coming home that was intoxicated while driving with his family in the car, coming home from Little Person Wrestling at the 8-Second Saloon.
Yes. Because I texted Hammer. I said, how did he get his family into the 8-Second Saloon? And then you informed me there's like a family wing of the 8-Second Saloon. Why would you for any reason bring your children to 8-Second Saloon?
Two words, midget wrestling.
Yeah.
And he was drunk coming home from that and got a Dewey. That wasn't the biggest story of the weekend. There was another couple. There was like this homeless, scruffy looking dude and a rather big gal having relations in a car on somebody's private property. And again, that wasn't the biggest story of the night.
Gun baby.
All things happening in the same hometown, gun baby was the biggest story.
And as we pointed out, the amazing thing about gun baby, it's terrible, obviously, horrific, that dad.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But gun baby, after a decade, has finally pushed scooter Walmart brawler lady off the front page.
Yeah, I think right now, if you think about like the low points in the city, for a long time it was the Walmart fight, and now I think Gun Baby might be taking the new number one seed.
50. Do we have to wrap it up? All right. Well, maybe tomorrow we'll play. I think that we'll do that tomorrow in honor of that. We will play your famous Walmart 30 for 30 brawl skit that you did years ago.
Okay.
Perfect. What's
Sounds
coming
good.
Up this afternoon?
Guy Relford will be in studio with me as Big Nige is out. Monday, Gun Day, biggest stories of the day. We'll have a good time.
Surprised Gun Baby could even lift the gun.
Oh, lifting the gun, pulling the trigger? I'm telling you, the Beech Grove High School track team needs to bring Gun Baby in to be the ceremonial starter for the season next year. It's a joke!
Yeah.
We're joking!
Thanks, Hammer. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.